Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
That boy Elon Musk is
off the chain.
What in the fuck?
He fired more people than Jacqueline in one day.
Now firing. That Oregon shit wasn't nothing. Nope. Third, eight people?
You got off light.
Elon Musk recently bought Twitter, fired the whole C-suite, and then began firing hundreds of employees, including key members of a team that work on moderating disinformation on the high-profile social media platform. This one is next level.
I wasn't ready.
Wait,
man.
Is it next level, or is it what you do when you spend so much money on a company that's now yours? I'm not defending him because those people need to eat. But when something belongs to you, you do with it what you wish.
I think the ripples are heavier for this one. I don't see it like a normal corporate move. I felt like it was super ego move.
This is for everybody. Have multiple streams of income. My daddy put it best. Don't let one person stop your show.
So Jacqueline's basically telling all of our listeners, get your OnlyFans page popping. That's what she's saying.
What would you do on OnlyFans, Third? It ain't all got to be freaky shit. You know, people just like chefs and there's teachers on there too.
I mean, at this point, if there were a group of black men who complain heavily about children, that would be my OnlyFans. That's what I would do. I would have people pay me to complain about their kids, not my own, just other people's children.
Oh, my OnlyFans would just be videos of me asking a woman how her day was, so you can just put that in front of your girl when she get home, and you can go play PlayStation.
Oh my gosh!
Millions, I'd make millions. My name is Roy. This is my job fair. Wednesday. It is the most beautiful day of the week. I don't know what day of the week you were born on, but if it wasn't Wednesday, your parents wasn't having sex the right way. Third.
You know I was born on a Tuesday. Stop saying that.
That is unfortunate, and my condolences to you.
You weren't born on a Wednesday either.
Yeah, but I've tried to overcome, much like this election this week, I don't agree with those results. How do I know I was born on a Monday? That's just a birth certificate. It's just a government document that could be forged. I might not even be 43. I'm not 43. I do not accept the results of that data.
Okay.
See, that's the new world, man. You can claim new things now, JG. I'm a 42-year-old white man. I put on New Balances at least twice a week and walk around. So, you know, it all works out. Be what you want to be.
Absolutely.
It's a new world.
And as a proud white man right now, I'm tired of the persecution of my people.
Talk about it.
So we can be what we want to be?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You can change back.
I want to be unbothered at the hair salon.
Ooh.
Okay, see, now you're bringing, like, look, you're going to bring up some off-air shit on air. I'm going to get into it.
Don't you dare.
Nah, I left it alone. Look, we're talking about food today. This is me moving on. See? This is me turning the page. Now, if you say that shit again, we're gonna talk about it.
This is me being Homer moving it back into the bush. This is what...
Chef Rock Harper, you know him from Hell's Kitchen. He was a winner of season 3. He is now a famed international chef. And we're going to talk to him about the world of running a restaurant, how it is running a restaurant post-COVID, and the scams that you motherfucking reality show producers run on people to try and make them fucking crack camera.
Y'all gotta feed the people, man. Feed the damn
reality
people.
TV. The word reality should be in quotations. Two things I want to talk about real quick. We remissed this last year.
We remissed this.
No, let me get this right.
Is that what you just said?
Did I say
we
that right?
Remiss
is that
this? The right? Remiss this. I know one of us work in a college setting. I'm pretty sure that. Let's try that again.
We forgot to do it.
Leave
that shit in.
Remissed.
No, don't edit that. I said what I said.
Oh,
we remissed last year. I went to college, graduated 2.8 GPA.
What?
Number one last year, Native American Heritage Month.
Facts.
This month. And I know one of our job fair listeners hit us up on the email, RoyceJobFair@gmail.com. If you want to point out our racial blind spots, we're happy to own up to them. We're going to drop a special episode from Beyond the Scenes where we talked about the indigenous community and the disrespect they get from all the sports mascots, the Braves and the Chiefs and, you know, all of that shit. We'll do that a little later this month. JG, you had the email. I don't have this person's name, but
it's Jody.
To Native American.
Okay. It's Jody, an assistant professor at a major university, sent an email.
Is Jody the First Nation person we had on earlier this year that was doing the forest fire work?
No.
No, this is different.
No.
Okay.
All right. And he's...
Well, that's cool.
He said, P.S., as a Native American, I would love to hear the job fair recognize November as National Native American Heritage Month. So, hi, Jody.
All right, boom. I think we just did it. I think we just... Boom.
We do need to talk about that reservation life at some point.
Well, you know, to be real, like. We actually...
I know we talked to the one.
Yeah, we talked to somebody, and he actually gave out jobs on the res. Remember, he came out and we're talking about jobs that had people as a community center. So, you know, shout out.
Rhonda, go back and look at the grid. We'll find that out, and we'll get that person a shout out as needed. So, November... Number one, Native American Heritage Month. Number two, the goddamn McRib is back. And you know, don't nobody work harder than that motherfucking fake meat sandwich. I don't know what it is, but it's delicious.
It's an emperor penguin foot. It's endangered. That's why it only comes around.
Don't say that. I mean,
why not? That's what it looked like.
Happy Feet was the sweetest movie about penguins.
That's why they was happy, because their feet wasn't turned into McRib.
That's it. They were happy that McDonald's retired Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar, and they weren't showing up in Antarctica scooping them boys up. That's what they were happy about. That's what that whole movie was. That was a subtext. That's why they was dancing.
Yo, did you know the McLobster was canceled in the 80s because McLobster was a real sandwich. It was test marketed in the Northeast. It did amazing in sales. It was like a cheap ass lobster roll, but they did the calculations and they went, if we go nationwide, not global, if we just go nationwide with the McLobster, the entire lobster population will be extinct.
Really?
Damn. That sounds right, though. I really want to know, what are the other failed sandwiches, right? You know what I mean? Like, what other sandwiches did they try to do that just ultimately failed? Like the McHaggis.
I remember distinctly, and these are all real failed McDonald's menu sandwiches, and this is from some Daily Show research for a sketch we never did. McSpaghetti, McLobster, the Arch Deluxe, and McPizza.
Arch Deluxe. What's on a deluxe?
Arch Deluxe, I remember.
There is a restaurant, I can't remember the name of it, but it has a $22 lobster sandwich that is fabulous. I mean, truly fabulous. I get to the airport
early. Is
that
the Delta terminal?
It is a Delta terminal.
It's time now for
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Okay. Tiffany Cross.
Ooh.
Of MSNBC. Ooh. And full disclosure, this is a friend. Yeah. And I don't say that casually. I was just on her program a couple months ago, talking about the Neutral Ground Emmy-nominated documentary with the homie CJ Hunt, available now wherever you stream and pay for shit legally. I don't like the way this was done. MSNBC abruptly canceled Tiffany Cross's show, The Cross Connection. We used to come on from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Saturday mornings, and the cancellation was announced Friday morning, and it was effective immediately. This is not how television shows are normally canceled, which means that something must have happened. Now, they're saying, we decided not to renew a contract, but you don't just yank somebody off the air and not give them the hey, good night, see y'all later, thank y'all, it was a pleasure to be a part of the MSNBC. You piss somebody off. In a statement, Tiffany Cross said, quote, I am disheartened to learn of MSNBC NBC's decision to cancel my show 4 days before the midterm elections. We were intentional about centering marginalized voices of the rising majority from all communities of color. Fresh off the heels of a racial reckoning, as so many have called it, we see that with progress, there's always backlash.
Ooh.
Now, you know, that's just a little, that's a little
jabbing there with the verbiage. I like
With the career in media spanning two decades from CNN to BET to MSNBC, I've not only navigated newsrooms, but built them as well. With a rapidly changing media landscape, I look forward to maintaining a platform that continues to reflect the changing demographics of this country.
Go ahead on, Queen.
It's becoming inherently more dangerous to speak the truth, but I will not stop. The attacks on me from other outlets and former host Fox News, Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, will never control my narrative. Thank you to my community and fans for your overwhelming advocacy. Can I not talk today? I'm remiss to not learn the word advocacy.
We'll be remiss in the tape and figure it out.
Thank you for the more than 4.6 million monthly viewers. Nice. I am forever in awe of you, and I am so grateful. See you soon.
Classy. I really hope that she does not get blackballed, man. I hope she does not get blackballed. That is something that happens a lot in media that people don't talk about because it's like the, you know, the unspoken ugly word.
When you're an outspoken black woman, you do not get shut out of media. We all know that when Melissa Harris Perry left MSNBC, it was easy for her to. Okay.
What about Farah Chadea?
When Farah Chadea, Angela Rock. When Angela Rob was spitting that fire and that real shit,
right.
And she left CNN, and she was at BET, and she left BET. It was real easy for another outlet. Zelina Maxwell.
Oh, that's a good
Zelina
call.
Maxwell.
Good call.
She had to join on Peacock.
Definitely had the Peacock show.
Oh, damn. Wait, they just canceled her a couple months ago. Oh, shit. All right, there might be something to this shit, JJ.
I'll concede that. I'm conceding.
But I think there's a lesson.
Hashtag sarcasm to all the black women.
Absolutely. Right, absolutely. Because that would, absolutely. But I think there's a lesson for all of us. And we talked about it just a few minutes ago. You can't have all your money, not saying that she does. I'm not talking about her at all. I'm just saying holistically, as normal, everyday people that we are, don't let all your money come from one pot. You just can't.
Yeah. I think that. You know, Tiffany's not, you know, a wild spender. She's going to land somewhere amazing and she'll be fine. She's talented.
I really hope so.
You know, but this type of stuff, man, when you're talking about television, you're talking about journalism, you got to keep one eye over your shoulder. I hate to say it. That's why, like, when folks keep talking about this.
Why do you hate to say it, though? That's true.
Because you wish the game wasn't like that.
Okay. I mean, you wish the game wasn't like that, but I mean, it is what it is. I kind of agree with JG on this. I don't think it's necessarily something you got to apologize for. And then before, you know, let's also not forget, there's a certain level of stress that comes with being in a newsroom, especially one like she was in. She's taking shots from other dudes at other networks. And like, if you're going to try to be classy about it, yeah, okay, you can ignore it. But, you know, I don't necessarily think it was non-classy of her to be like, yo, y'all keep bringing that smoke. I'm going to bring this fire. How about that?
She is not just taking shots from the likes of Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and people at other networks. She is taking shots from their sycophants as well.
Yeah.
Tiffany Cross is not, it's one thing if you're just beefing with a person and hey, fuck you. And you just say, like the old school John Stewart, Tucker Carlson crossfire, like the old school John Stewart, Jim Cramer bullshit that used to happen between The Daily Show and what was it, Fast Money, whatever Cramer show is, right? That's professional beef. Tiffany is opening up her social media every damn day and dealing with all of these idiots that are just verbally abusing and attacking her. And then you're supposed to just sit on air every Saturday
and be cool
and just be all composed.
You got to protect black women, man, especially when they're in a situation where they're on TV and Cass is talking hella crazy to them. And there's nothing about being chauvinistic or anything else. But these networks and a lot of this stuff with this social media, a lot of these sisters, whether they've been on the news, whether they've been on Star Wars, whether they've been on Lord of the Rings, we talk about places that don't even really have black people, but like they're still getting attacked in real time. And I feel like, you know, there's no real balance. You expect these women to act like nothing's wrong. and get on the air and just be cool about it, man. Like, I really respect a lot of patience she showed before she popped off on Son of Them Cat.
Yeah, they was already waiting, and, absolutely, you know, Tiffany was being Tiffany, and then they decided that's the thing. When I'm sure if we dig in the crates on the last 2 years of the Cross connection, she's probably spit way hot fire, way something way more hotter than that.
Is there any grace at all for doing that kind of stuff?
You know, part of why I encourage a little bit of cursing and raunch. Somebody on Twitter referred to us as an amazing employment podcast, but a little raunchy at times.
Really?
And I couldn't have been more prouder of the tweet because it was like, yes, that's exactly what we're not raunchy all the time. We're raunchy at times. So it established new boundaries of expectations from Daily Show viewers of me.
I like that we're on the edge of chaos, Roy. If we weren't on the edge of chaos, I probably would be bored.
But nonetheless, she died on her shield, saying exactly what's on her mind and not kowtowing and not tweaking and changing none of that shit. For that, my good friend Tiffany Cross.
You are Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
And if you need a little money in the meantime, Tiffany, come on over to Sacklesson State. You can be the dean, because,
you know, as they say at Sacklesson State, good, you know, find a way or make one. We will find a way or we will make one. Just like Clark Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
I know the men in her DMs right now talking about, baby, come on over here, baby girl. Nah.
You know you don't need to work for real. You know what I'm saying? You can just let me take care of you, girl.
Oh, real quick before we meet Chef Rock. Yes. Thank you, Down South Georgia Girl. The episode 30, September 29th. The Art of the Resignation. That's when we spoke with Thomas of the All Nations Healthcare, who broke down the indigenous community and how COVID has affected the reservations and how the federal government has abandoned them. So that's a little bit of a tip of the hat to our Native American community. But next year, you got our word. We'll do it. I'll even, well, I won't do the theme song.
No.
Cancel. We'll talk about it.
We have to do a theme song.
I might have an idea for that, though, man. We might have to just feature indigenous rappers, man. Those dudes are pretty funny. Yeah. Like, all the way across the board, indigenous
shit
rappers.
Shit ain't coming out my mouth.
It's hilarious.
You finna have me fucked up like the tomahawk chop.
Nope, won't be me.
Oh, my God.
Worse than first time. And if it's one thing I know one person on this podcast love, is Jacqueline, and I know she love food.
Food, glorious food.
She love a catfish fried hard.
Yes, with mustard.
We asked you a couple months ago if you would pay $1,000 to meet any celebrity, and you said no, but you said you would pay $1,000 for the right food experience.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Absolutely.
If you say so. I'm not sure if there's anything worth $1,000.
Why are you doubting me? This is my opinion.
You're right. Listen, I'm not here to attack your dreams. Let's get this guest on, because I always feel inspired to welcome my fellow reality show brethren. JG, who do we have on the line?
We welcome Chef Rock Harper, a native of San Diego, and he credits his love for cooking to his summer spent with his grandmother in Virginia. In 2007, he won season 3 of the reality cooking show Hell's Kitchen. Okay. His career has been on the rise since his days at B. Smith's. Okay. In 2020, he opened the restaurant Queen Mother's Fried Chicken in Arlington, Virginia.
Nice.
The eatery pays homage to the recipes of his mother and grandmother and has garnered praise from publications like Eater, DC, The Washington Post, and The Washingtonian Magazine. Nice. And he'll be talking to us today about his impressive culinary career, and maybe he can give me some tips on a couple of recipes.
Chef Rock, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming on the Job Fair.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Jacqueline, that is, I'm a bottle that introduction on up. I appreciate you, sister. That was good. Thank you.
Oh,
so nice and eloquent.
Hi, yes.
Shout out to Booker. You got to be doing all that digging and finding out this stuff. We also, Chef Rock, we got to talk about this podcast, the Chef Rock Experiment Podcast. We talk about the restaurant industry and the ins and outs of it, and, you know, front of the house, back of the the house issues, all of that type of stuff. We'll dig into that as well, because I know the restaurant industry has been dealing with some issues during the COVID time, and a lot of the employees show up high on cocaine and you can't fire them because that cocaine motherfucker is still better than anybody you can find off the street. I'm sorry, I'm getting into getting into the weeds right now. First and foremost, how much does a reality show like Hell's Kitchen get right about cooking and the fast-paced craziness that goes on in the back of house versus what's kind of souped up for TV? And I'm not asking you to shit on it. We all know reality TV. You make a couple of cheats, but how much does it honor the actual experience of what you learned when you was in chef college? I don't know what it's called. Is that what it's called? Chef college.
That's literally the official term, boy. That's
food school.
I'll say this. So the thing about, you know, Last Comic Standing is that you can, the viewer can consume, can taste, if you will. It's corny, but I can get the joke, right? But I can't taste the food. I can only conceptually think, oh, the scallops. Look nice. Done, right? If that joke landed poorly, there ain't shit you can edit to make that joke sound better, right? But they can make dinner service, or I can make a certain dish, or the producers can sort of chop it up to make me look like a better chef than it appears to be. But here's what Hell's Kitchen gets right that I personally know. The restaurant business is crazy as hell. It, as you know, like you said, the cocaine cook sometimes is the best cook. And so you just have to be ready for chaos and just the unexpected every single day. And what Hell's Kitchen does right, whether it was intentionally or not, it's just going to give you chaos every single shift. And most of it is they plan on it. But so in order to win, you have to be ready. You got to be flexible. You got to have a sense of resilience. And you got to have a therapist as soon as you leave out of there. It gets that part right. Yeah,
you never really know if the pressure that they're putting on you sometimes is just for the camera, or is the pressure really that real? Like, how rough is that, like, to be in that environment? Because you both were in the old school, like, for lack of a better word.
I was Last Comic Standing 08 and 2010, but Last Comic Standing is just a joke. So, and I had done enough television up until that point where it's just, I'm doing comedy on TV and whoever likes me. So I'll pass the ball to you, Chef, because I will not compare stand-up to trying to create something against a clock in a room with 20 other people and a British man yelling shit.
Yeah, calling everybody the C-word.
Fun fact, I used to want to be, that was my first love with stand-up comedy, and I didn't go down that route for a number of reasons. But to stand on stage and do what you do, Roy, like, that's some scary shit. Like, I'd rather, sometimes, it says something about me, I'd rather a British dude yelling at me and cooking scallops than standing on stage and trying to make 100 people laugh.
See, I consider cooking a form of performance because you are using your creativity to create something that alters the mood of the person who consumes it. But with you, on the first bite, if they don't like it, that's it for you, motherfucker. Right. You're done. I can adjust. I can change my jokes. I can go through my catalog. Like, you can't cook some shit and they go, ugh, I'll be right back. I cook some other
Hold
shit.
Hold on. Yeah, I got it. Give y'all just ribs I got in the back right quick.
That's what people get wrong, is that really the crazy thing is, it took me a long time to learn this as a culinary artist. It's really not as much about the food than it is about creating the environment where I see the guest. And I see the set, like, you can, some of our best experiences happen in some of the shittiest places, right? And sometimes it can be the Michelin star rated places, but it's about how they made people feel. And nobody expects it to be perfect all night, but it's how you respond to when you mess it up. So, we can adjust, but if it's horrible, you know, yeah, they might get up out of there. But, just to answer your question real quick there, I think that for me, it was, I was used to pressure, and I went there to win. I wanted to change my life, and I always wanted to be in entertainment. Like I said, I wanted to be a comedian early on. So it wasn't, people were crying and breaking down. It's hard as hell. Like, it's really hard. You know, you isolate it from life. There's no phone, there's no books. The only book that made it through was the Bible. And I didn't kill anybody, want, like, nothing. So they really ice. It's like a science experiment. You got people watching in the bathroom. You're away from your loved ones. So that does something to even the best of chefs.
And that's the early days of reality TV, where they would withhold meals to drive, to create hunger, to make the contestants irritable. Yeah. I'm not saying they did that on Hell's Kitchen, but there were definitely ways that they could manufacture, like change the temperature in the room, tricky shit like that.
That's terrible.
Yeah, psychological shit.
Yeah, yeah, keep going, Chef. I'm sorry.
There were elements of it. I think I noticed some of it while I was there, but later on you sort of realize, like, oh, they did that on purpose, right? You know, we didn't have alarm clocks. So there's, so if you don't have alarm clocks, you got to get up. And they gave us beer and wine and alcohol. And in the kitchen, you could get whatever you wanted, as far as, like, you could order a lot. There was a grocery list. You could order lobster, filet mignon. You could, and as long as you cooked it, you could have whatever you want. We realized, like, 2 days in, I realized I'm eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Raisin Bran, because you ain't got time to, you know, you don't have time to cook an actual meal. I'm trying to change my fucking life. I ain't trying to, you know, be in the cook. they would do certain things, not necessarily to sabotage, but to see how you react. The way I took it, they want to see how a true leader reacts when everything is supposed to go right and shit goes left. Excuse my life, but
please curse away.
So it was okay for me. You just got to know it's not going to be. I thought it was going to be Hollywood the way they sort of sent the invitation. It was like, you know, bring beach clothes. Yes. You're going to have, you know, it was 12 episodes. I knew it was going to be 6 weeks. I'm like, oh, 2 dinner services a week? This is going to be sweet. And, you know, the beach clothes were so they could throw you in the dumpster and you didn't mess up your chef pants. And I mean, that's just it was not Hollywood in a sense that what I knew about L.A. or, you know, TV business. It was really hard. And that worked for me because all you had to focus on was the kitchen and the experience of being a great cook under Gordon Ramsay. That's the kind of environment I thrive upon. Like, I go at it. I'm a great student and I'm a great learner. So you give me the ball and show me which way to go, I'm going to go. So it worked out in my favor that season.
After the break, I want to get into the scam, Chef Rock, of how hard it is to start a restaurant and keep a restaurant going. But first, after the break, the homie Nerado, a.k.a. Rod for short, he going to come on here and drive this show off the rails as we celebrate Native Americans and the McRib. It is the job.
Wait.
Yes.
No, that's not culinary.
That's racist.
How is that racist?
Hey, let's go.
Wait a minute.
Go to break. Jacqueline's becoming racist. Anti-Native American.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Job fair, and we are bike. Chef Rock Harper standing by for Scam of the Week. We're going to talk to Brother Harper a little bit about what it's like to run his restaurant down there in the DMV and some of the scams involved in just trying to make a restaurant succeed. But it's time we slow it down. Bring a brother on this program now. He is the inventor of the emotional support Kahlua. And
thank you.
As we get into the holiday season,
I'm gonna eat Botox.
He is there to comfort you, ladies, if you need a plus one to your family function so your family can feel like you're making progress in your love life because you're feeling a little embarrassed. He will attend your holiday functions.
He's a friend.
$2,000 on the Venmo. His mama named him Nerado. We call him Rod for short. Rod, welcome aboard. We're talking restaurants.
Yeah.
Today, Rod, we've been talking with the homie Chef Rock Harper, breaking down winning on Hell's Kitchen, and we'll talk to him in a second about running his restaurant on the backside of that. I keep forgetting, Rod, did you ever work at a restaurant? I don't feel like you ever.
Yeah, I did, man. I used to work at a Ruby T.
Really?
Worked at a great one, too. Worked at the one in the mall. The one in the Galleria. It was a good time.
Yo, restaurant job in the mall.
Around the corner from the Foot Locker?
No, that's the Black. That, no, that's the.
No, not the Foot Locker, right? No, that was Worcester Hills. Worcester Hills Mall. No, they didn't have. I don't even think they had a food.
They had an Applebee's. They didn't have a.
No. Rod, we turn it over to you, brother, and give these people some topics they can bring up at the job, bro.
Well, since we're talking chefs, food, and restaurants, right now in the Black community, a scandal has erupted. A woman recently posted on TikTok about a Texas Roadhouse serving her macaroni and cheese that was not fresh and baked from a steakhouse. It is absolutely Kraft mac and cheese that they're serving in the Texas Roadhouse. And a lot of people came out of the woodwork saying, I've been trying to tell people this. I had my suspicions. And weirdly enough, there's been some people defending them.
Does it matter if it's store-bought?
I think the problem is that it's not good, but it's not up to par with what you expect the mac and cheese to be at a steakhouse. You expect that to be fresh, baked, high quality, and instead, you know, they're charging you $8, $9 for some shit they shook out of a box that was 50 cents. And that's fucked up.
If you don't put 5 cheeses in your macaroni and cheese, I don't want it.
Amen to that, sister.
I don't like the fact that mac and cheese has become an entree in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. Mac and cheese is a side item. It should always
be. Yeah, they keep adding meat to it.
Yeah. Bacon lobster mac and cheese. It's $16. You want a side? Bitch, that is a side.
And then, but then they bring you out the whole platter that they were going to serve the restaurant and be like, no, this is just for you. Like, come on, man. Y'all know, but they don't even put no garnish on it either. That's the worst part. They just bring it out to you in a casserole dish.
Still in the Pyrex.
Still in the Pyrex. Talk about some $17 for some mac and cheese, yo. Nah.
I want Gouda in it. I want provolone. I want feta. I want mozzarella. I want shredded cheddar. All of those things. And I'll pay you $18 for some mac and cheese if you're doing that.
Yeah, I love a good mac and cheese. I can eat a bowl of mac and cheese by itself.
Yeah, when you make
it. It's a comfort food.
At home.
But if I go to a restaurant, I don't want no damn Kraft mac and cheese.
Apparently, this is like more common than you know. Thank you, Booker Hayat. A Southern California brunch spot was caught using Popeye's chicken in its dishes.
That's just trifling.
Sweet Dixie's Chicken and Biscuits was charging $12.95 when that actual meal only cost $5.99 at Popeye's.
Wow.
Double up.
Dirty game, dirty world.
Dang.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Sometimes you got to be slick with the shit. Let's flip it up for the people real quick, right?
Man, on the other side of the aisle, some of the most exciting news to hit Whiteville, USA in a long time. San Francisco has opened a French Michelin star restaurant for dogs.
Oh, that's sweet.
What does that mean?
And when I say for dogs, I mean they don't serve human food. This isn't a you can bring your dog to our restaurant. We've got a couple treats for the dog. This is a full-blown fine dining establishment for your canine friend, including a $75 tasting menu that rotates every Sunday.
What?
Stop it.
Rotating.
We have to stop doing this.
No,
that's sweet.
If somebody wants to pay for this, fine, but you are exploiting the pockets of people that.
Exploit those dumb fuckers. I support fleecing them.
Thank you, Rod. I'm trying
work.
To be tactful. I'm trying to be tactful.
Disposable income.
But if you're willing to take your out for a $112 meal, God damn it, give them two of them. Get all the money for them dummies.
These are people with disposable income.
These are the same people who have IG accounts for their dogs. This is what I'm saying.
What's
like,
wrong
just
with that?
Even that's okay-ish, but there are a lot of people who their animal is a substitute for interacting humans with the world. Yes. And so then you're going to exploit them at $150 a plate for some goddamn people?
Yes.
That shit probably Popeyes too. It's probably some red beans and rice.
So do we want to exploit them and allow them to be with their four-legged friends, or do we want them to do something that's dangerous, like running down the strip, stabbing people, or something else? Because if you just want to be with a dog, go ahead. I'm not mad at you. I agree with you.
That's fair.
I agree with you that there is something emotionally missing there, but if that's going to keep you calm.
Not with all of them.
Yeah, I don't think people using their dogs as substitutes for human love isn't about, this is the only thing that keeps me from being a serial killer.
Right.
That's a different thing. That's just straight up I went on a bad date. Nobody loves me. I have no friends. That dog becomes a substitute for having a child and for having a romantic partner, and that's not a good
thing. Some people's relationships with animals is a byproduct of an unhealthy mental
state. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But fleece that motherfucker. Take it.
And let the animal be happy.
Chinos all day and night. Give them 30 of them bitches.
I mean, this is no different than plastic surgery you're getting over on people that also have something missing.
You can't really listen to me on this one, because I think that if I'm being totally honest to God, I think my worst trait is that I use stupid people for entertainment. And so I see absolutely nothing. If somebody's stupid enough, I want the biggest titties in the history of the world. Give them to that dumb motherfucker. Take that money. I want to feed my dog a $100 plate meal. Give it to him. Take that money from that fucking idiot.
I see both sides.
Laugh all the way to the bank on stupid people.
Pets can give you an escapism from, you know, a lot of the horrors of the world with unconditional love and licks to the face, even after they just lick their balls.
Oh.
But I'm not.
Don't you lick my face.
I don't know if I can. More power to him. 5-star Michelin chef, and the dog would have been completely content to eat
out
Popeyes.
The fucking trash can.
Boom. I'm trying too hard in life. I need to just start doing shit like this.
Right?
Bro, there's no greater example than the nigga in the 70s who became a millionaire selling pet rocks. You can sell dummies anything.
This is a fair point.
Anything can be sold. We buy water in America.
Country.
You can sell motherfuckers stupid shit for real money.
This is a very valid point. Very valid point.
Because pet rocks has to be the most outrageous thing that has ever been sold to people. Rocks is free as shit.
And they were selling out of them shit. See what I'm saying? Like, that's horrible.
You go outside to get an unlimited collection of pet rocks, and a nigga was putting them shits in stores in a box, and motherfuckers made him rich.
Period.
I understand this story, but I don't like it.
Makes you sad.
I don't.
So
for the people.
He can't get a CMO? Becoming rich off people buying dog meals don't get you a CMO.
His mama named him Rado. We call him Rod for
short.
Wait,
Roy, I need to ask him something really quickly. Just a quick sidebar. If he would save me just a smidgen of time on his relationship fair so I can talk about engagement. Aside from
the absolutely. Story, okay, absolutely. All the time you
thank
want.
You. No, just a smidgen.
Do you know what's going on in JG's DM since the last relationship fair, Rod?
Yeah, apparently people are asking her for advice. Tell the people what's going on, Jacqueline.
Oh, it's just...
No,
I'll hold it.
We go next relationship fair. Yeah. We'll dive into your DMs.
Okay.
Matter of fact, screenshot the best ones. And we're going to have Rod help these women.
Giving...
No, you can cover the name.
No, we're not going to tell people who they are, but screenshot them so the team, so we can see them. We need to see these people so we can not help them.
These women are in...
We need to be able to click their profiles, because for some of them, you know, it's like, you're a hard three. Ain't nobody proposing. Lay down, son.
No.
You didn't get into Shackleton. You are not coming to Shackleton looking like that. You were about getting married.
They're sad.
Now, let me ask you. Let me ask you a different question, Jacqueline. What? Let me ask you a different question. What they looking like? Is it a couple eights in there?
Equal or better than Rachel Dolezal?
All of that.
I'm putting it on the grid right now, JG.
Grid changing in front of me. I love it.
Yeah. Matter of fact, let's put the kite in the air right now. If you're a woman and you've already DM'd JG, DM her more details about the relationship so that we can really unpack what the fuck is going on. And we're going to pass that over to Rod.
Yeah, or you can just DM me directly. Whatever.
Don't do that.
Or you can send it to women.
I'm here to
let's
help.
Let's not do that.
We'll go on the show.
No, you're not. Let's not do that.
Right, go ahead and send it to the job fair email box. What's the job fair email box? You can send it there too. You know what I'm saying?
Rod, thank you as always. We got to get back to Chef Rock. We appreciate you, Rod.
All right, bless
oh my
up.
Gosh.
Bless up. Keep it sunny.
Thank you, Rod. Why am I trying to be helpful? Why?
Scam of the week time was we welcome Chef Rock back on, and let's get into the actual metrics of, is it a fool's errand to even open a restaurant? Them things be closing, don't they, JG?
They do. Pre-COVID, around 60% of new restaurants failed within the first year. And the reason why was basically location and then also the food going downhill. No one's back there still putting their foot in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why we... thankful that the McRib is still around and that recipe has been solid.
I've never had a McRib, Roy.
Long live the Happy Feet sandwich.
No! I'm also curious about the fact that most restaurants fail within a year to 2 years. What have you learned to keep the doors open?
You know, I think those stats are interesting, and that's sort of the thing that people say. Here's the thing. Just because you can cook doesn't mean it's going to be good business. It can be, but they're almost things. If we think about it, I don't know what cities y'all are in, but you travel around this country, some of the most popular restaurants are pretty mediocre in service and in food. But that's because you have an owner or investors that really, really know business or have relationships where they can sustain that business. So what I've learned, to answer your question pointedly, is that you got to have money and you got to have the right people on your team or capital. Okay. And you got to be able to understand cash flow. Like, just because I'm the best, there's nobody on in this country that can fry chicken like me. Okay? Except for...
Don't say that because I'm going to have to test it. Don't say that because I'm going to to test it.
I'm coming home next week and I'm coming straight to your spot. Just hold that down. Word up.
Let me qualify that. And there's only one in the restaurant business. I'm not telling nobody. Grandma, auntie on Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me correct that.
Okay.
Nice disclaimer. Thank you.
Except for Dookie Chase, Queen Mother, may she rest in peace, Leah Chase, she passed recently. The best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. Other than her, I got it. But here's the point. That don't matter if I don't know how to negotiate a lease or if I don't know how to pay people or keep my costs up high. Mm-hmm. So many people go into it. And this is not just black people. Many cultures go into it because they can cook well and serve well. But we don't know business as much. And we realize, like, we got to get paid. So,
as I travel, I go around to the restaurants that have the James Beard award-winning chefs and those who do all the baking and whatnot. Do you have a favorite chef? Aside from yourself, of course.
Do I have a favorite chef in the country, like around? Wow, that's a big question.
I'm writing it down, too, because I'm going.
So, oh, my gosh, that is such a big question.
I know.
You're going to get me in trouble.
We ain't asking you to name your Mount Rushmore, but just a couple folks that bubble up to the top.
Yeah.
I'll stick. Okay, so there's a chef in D.C. His name is Angel Barreto, and he is his restaurant is Anju. He's executive chef. He's been nominated for all the awards. Super talented brother, and he can cook his ass off. Great dude. I'm really loving his food. Like I said, I mentioned Dookie Chase down in New Orleans, one of my favorite restaurants. Oh man, this is pressure. My mouth just got dry. I'm gonna have to come back to you on that. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. No, it's fine. I'm just curious.
You know, you got to check out Anju.
It's on the list. I'm on it.
Yeah, Anju's good eating, bro.
Yeah.
Conjures good eating.
Acting and stand-up have ruined television for me for the most part. I can watch it, but I watch it from an analytical brain. It's very few things that I can actually key in on and just enjoy as a consumer. When you are out to eat, has doing what you do at the level that you've done it, because, you know, for a while, you know, you're the head chef out there in Vegas at the Green Valley Ranch Resort and Spa. Then you come home to Arlington, you start Queen Mother, you start doing what you do, and you do it with the level of specificity and perfection, because I always feel like chefs, like that separating line between a chef and a cook is like the chef wants this to change your life. When you bite into this, I want everything that you was thinking about to fucking leave your consciousness. Are you able to eat out at all? Like, can you go to Applebee's? Can you go?
Why are you happy?
That's disrespectful. Let's level up. Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
Oh, like, that is a level up. That's a step up.
It's barely, but it's a step up. Are you ruined? Is your palate ruined? Like, what's the downside to being a chef like this? Like, because it seems like you have a very eclectic, elevated palate. I just don't know if a motherfucker like you can still appreciate a Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Listen, I could all day, bro. But here's the thing. It's like, that's funny. I think, I don't know what the parallel is on the comedy side, but I think that it's like Dennis Green said, we knew who they were, right?
They were who we thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to get a Cheddar Bay biscuit, Red Lobster, or if I'm going to Cheesecake, I expect the spring rolls to be the spring rolls. I know what it's supposed to be. So you ain't going to feed me no bullshit and say, oh, you know, I went to Cheesecake Factory, fun fact, not too long ago, the food conference, and my man, the shrimp was supposed to be the dragon fire shrimp or whatever. And he served me like, they were chopped up. It looked like, what do you call it? The Benihana style, like, but it wasn't. It was
They diced the shrimp?
It looked nice. And
how did you do
$28.
That?
And this is right in the middle of the pandemic. And the bartender was like, well, sir, that's how they're supposed to be. I said, listen, stop. Like,
don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that, son. Don't do that.
Just give me the regular old bang, that bang bang. Mm-hmm. Give me the bang bang, bro. Stop. But
yeah.
So I'm good. I can go to the hole in the wall pasta joint in Long Island. I can go to, you know, the Michelin stars, and I'm good anywhere. I just want it to be what I expect it to be.
All right. I was literally going to ask you, since I know you're in the Alexandria area, do you still eat at restaurants that have plexiglass at the serving door? Like, because at home, there are certain people who will judge your mambo sauce depending on whether or not you actually have plexiglass. You got to order behind the plexiglass.
Those days are over for me, and I'm going to tell you why. You talking about like bulletproof. So I tell my friends in city all the time, we got to stop support. If you got to have this up and ain't nobody getting shot in restaurants, y'all got to stop supporting these places that view you as a dude on the other side of the counter with it. So if I don't care how late it is, how drunk we are, I ain't doing it. So those places are vultures on the neighborhood. Now I don't eat
that. I support that, sir. I support that. Yeah. That's what's up.
After the break, we're going to break down what restaurant workers can do to create better situations for themselves and what employers can do to stop the turnover in the restaurant industry. It's the Job Fair. We'll be right back. Brought to you by McRib. Not for real, but if McRib want to advertise, we'll take your money.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Job Fair, we are rounding third and headed for home. Now, let's end here, Chef Rock, your podcast, the Chef Rock Experiment podcast. Now, you get into talking about the restaurant industry, and I'm not going to sit here and act like we on the same level. I was a front of the house guy. Talk to us a little bit about the podcast and what made you we know you have the knowledge, but what made you decide, nah, people, other people have to know what's going on within this industry?
Yeah. So the Chef Rock experiment was born several years ago when, as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to get into entertainment a long time ago when I was in middle school. And I've been trying to, you know, figure out how to work my way back into it. Like Hell's Kitchen was my jump into TV. And then the restaurant business is very unforgiving. And I wanted to own something that can live forever, that serves value to people, but also it's fun to do. So I said, you know, 5-6 years ago, let me get into podcasting. And, you know, I own that.
Okay.
So, you know, adding value, what can I say on this microphone? Who can I interview that helps folks in our industry? Because, you know, we don't have a bunch of programming that isn't, it's very foo-foo. It's very, you know, it just not super specific. Like people tell you, you know, how to hire a CPA or a lawyer to negotiate a lease or you know, what to do when you get assigned on the power washing duty and the blooming onion gravy is all over the place.
I think in the restaurant industry, there's definitely been a power shift between the employee to the employees versus the owners. But I still think that the employees are not solving their problems by bouncing from spot to spot to do the exact same thing, because I believe there's a lot of symmetry within the restaurant industry in terms of the problems that most front of the house and back of the house face.
Mm-hmm. I think you got your finger on the pulse, Roy. It's there's a big opportunity over the past really several years, but really, you know, since the pandemic, for employers and employees to really create this kind of, you know, healthier, more robust, fulfilling workplace, right? As opposed to, we could fire back in the day, right? You could fire because there was a line of people and you could just fire. Now you can't do it. You can't do it because there's not a lot of people waiting to get the job. So you're almost forced into, how can I make this place? Like, what do you want? And instead of quitting, like, say what you want. Say what doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. And let's figure out the middle place. Mm-hmm. Even if you're only going to work here for 6 months, like, let's be in relationship so we can say, I can offer this to you. Here's how much you can make. Here's what we're going to do. Here's, you know, and then at the end of the 6 months, we say bye. Chefs in the restaurant community always want, we had this dumbass belief, like, we're in it to be great, to get the Michelin star. It's like, nah, your ass gonna get the Michelin star and you gonna make the couple million and you gonna go on the TV. I'ma still be a line cook. So let's, you know, the youth are like, nah, we don't believe that bullshit no more. So, and let's stop telling the lie, and then also let's create this workplace where we can both benefit, get what we want, and bounce.
Yo, it's so interesting you say that, man. I'm and we've already kind of made it clear. I'm from the Virginia area, and I was home not too long ago, and like you talking stock restaurants, my mom and dad, my mom ordered from Bob Evans. And when we went to Bob Evans, with no shot, you know, shout out Bob Evans in Springfield. I love y'all. But the thing is, I was at the door, people were coming into the restaurant, and then they were leaving. And I just watched it kept happening. And so when I went in, I asked the manager what was going on. There was one manager, there was one cook, and there was one server. So when I asked the manager what was going on, she said, nobody wants to work. And on the heels of that question that you just brilliantly answered, I'm going to ask you to further it. What are you doing to retain people to work in this environment? Because there are a lot of restaurants and people who do good stuff. But, you know, the market literally changed in front of all of our faces thanks to the quarantine. So what kind of things are you doing to encourage people to stay?
So that's a great question. So nobody wants to work. The people in these positions of hiring power got to stop saying stuff like that without asking the question, why does nobody want to work, right? We're just saying that. So there's a shift happened globally. So in the restaurant business, you know, like, or dot, stretch that out. Nobody wants to work in a shitty job for no money, long hours, no health care. And, you know, so like, stretch that out. That's why. So how can we can't pay, you know, we can't offer some of the benefits just yet. But how can we? So the question is, how can we make them want to work? What do you want? Like, this is the question that I think people have to ask internally, and we have to ask the cooks. What is it that you want out of a job, right? What type of flexibility? How can we change some of these positions? How can we have a conversation with the customers, right? The true value of food. Bob Evans has not raised their prices tremendously. So that cook that's making $10, $12, maybe $15 an hour with no benefits, that's because the triple pay plate still has to be $8 or $10 to get the senior citizens in. How is that plate not risen over the past 30 years? That's, or 20 years. That's insane. Mm. So what the question is, what responsibility does the public, how do they value the food and our labor, right? So that plate should be 24 maybe. So I think we have to ask better questions and stop saying, no, a lot of people just don't want to work. I mean, but they don't want to work in those type of jobs. People do want to be happy and fulfilled in their occupation. So we have to ask the question is, why can't they get that here?
It's almost like, Ralph, you walking at Bob Evans, what the manager should have said, like, why is everybody leaving? There's one cook, one server, and one manager, because we can't pay these motherfuckers the money that they deserve, and we can't charge y'all more, because then you motherfuckers won't come here. So take your goofy ass to McDonald's and get you something off the dollar menu.
100%. I'm heavy-handed in the kitchen when it comes to spices. And a secret my mother gave me was to balance that out with either sugar or honey. Do you have any secrets like that that you can share?
Okay, Mom, with the balance, all right. Secrets? So I'm not much of a big secret guy. I think cooking is easy, and I've been told like that's silly. But
well, then how do you deglaze, Chef? Because I hadn't been able to deglaze. No, yet.
Jacqueline, if you don't email this man all these cooking questions,
get the brown off the bottom, get something nice and brown, and then a flavorful liquid, either a wine or stock or something.
I got it right here, Chef.
Ready?
I'm not doing a good job of this deglazing. I love it.
I'm going to tell you one of the biggest mistakes home cooks make. We use high heat, right? Most people at home are so scared of the smoke detector going off that y'all don't use high enough heat to get the searing, to get the browning. So what happens is, I don't know about your kitchen, but so if you want to deglaze, what you have to do is all of the smoke detectors in my place are disconnected, because my neighbors are like, what are you doing over there? It can't be a fire every night. It's smoke.
Smoke.
So use higher heat. And that's the tip I got. I hope that helps.
Thank you. I'm going to try it.
Okay. Go ahead and drop that address, Chef Rock, so you know, if cats might happen to be listening to Virginia area, you know, saying next 2 or 3 weeks and need a reminder where to show
please,
eat your chicken.
QueenMotherCooks.com. QueenMotherCooks.com is the website. I'm on Instagram at Rock Harper, where you can find all the links. But come on through. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, serving the best fried chicken in the world.
I'm in.
Well, you are Chef Rock Harper. Podcast is the Chef Rock Experiment Podcast. I'm supposed to be down in D.C. I might have to come on through there and grab some of this, because this chef talk a lot of shit. I like when the chef, you ain't never heard a chef talk shit. I got the best fried chicken in the world. These are the chefs. Bro. Whatever you eating, that shit is slaw. They done stepped on. They done cutting their shit with bullshit. 100% pure fried chicken over here.
Chicken tastes like wood. Bullshit.
Chef Rock, thank you so much for coming on the Job Fair. And you know what?
Thank you, Chef.
Anytime you want me on your podcast, and I'm not saying this just for the sake because we recording, but I will be happy to come on and tell you stories as a server at Golden Corral. I'll tell you about the time that the African dude Glenn went out in the parking lot and chased customers across the parking lot because they stiffed him on the 12 top.
No.
So, it's just a little foot pursuit. It wasn't.
I'm gonna hold you to that. That doesn't surprise me.
No.
But that's correct. Was he a manager?
No, he was just a regular ass server like me.
Yeah, that one got you, Chef. You need to hear him go. His Golden Corral stories.
I got a ton of questions. I'll save them for the podcast. I'll say I appreciate that, Roy. Thank you,
Chef. Ask him also when he's there about the time he took us all on the West Coast to a restaurant that served chicken and waffles, and we could have died. But I'm gonna leave it right there.
Listen, you didn't die though, did you? Did you die?
Did you die?
Was there not a murder? Was there a murder?
Yes, there was. There was a rapper who was shot and killed at a chicken and waffle.
Oh, this is super recent.
Yeah,
this is so real.
This is super recent. Okay, wow. Yeah, we got to talk about it.
I got stories for days when I come to the service. So I don't know shit about the back of the house, but I can talk about the fact that, you know, the one thing about restaurant work is that because it is hectic, because it is crazy, the people you work with, it becomes family. And a lot of the people that I work with in the restaurant industry, I'm still close with to this day.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of the most meaningful second family jobs that I've ever had. We've held you up enough. I will be down there before year's end to taste this shit talking chicken.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you, sir.
We're taking too long. I'm gonna be there in a week and a half, homie. Fuck dumb shit. I'm coming. I ain't even fronting y'all. I'm coming.
Love to see it. Let me know if you have any questions. I appreciate y'all having me on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was an honor.
All right, y'all. I appreciate you, family. Y'all be good.
Much love, Chef. That's the show. Royce Job Fair is a product of iHeartMedia, Comedy Central, and South Park and Princeton Productions, man. It's a good episode, man.
Wait, where can I see you next? In person.
Oh, I'm not going. If you wasn't in Atlanta for the Daily Show broadcast, you missed me, dog. That's it. I might pop up in New York doing jokes in a random hut somewhere. But
nice.
I'm
need to go to a hair salon.
What you need to do is go
fade back to the bushes.
Now, you done brought it up again. Now, what did
it's I the end of the show. Bring the music up, bro.
What I told you at the beginning of the show. To all the women that see JG in the hair salon, please tell her all over how much you love this show. Because she really appreciates being interrupted in the middle of getting her hair dry. Turn the music up, Ralph.
Please. This is out of control.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.